Today is Thursday, January 29th, 2015, and it is 1:30 in the afternoon. This is the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. I'm Senator Mia Costello. With me today we have Vice Chair Senator Giesel, Senator Stevens, and Senator Ellis. Welcome. Senator Meyer is running a few moments late and will be joining us. Before we start with today's presentation, I wanted to thank Thatcher Brower, who's our one of our assistants here, and also Karen Cooper-Ryder, who's helping out. Also, I want to welcome my Chief of Staff, Gina Ritocco, who's acting as committee aide today, and also my future committee aide, Diane Bloomer, who is joining us here in the audience. And with that, I want to welcome Commissioner-elect Heidi Dragas. Welcome, Commissioner.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And if you'd like to introduce any members of the department that are here today from the Department of Labor and Workforce Development, today, of course, is the overview that you're providing to the committee. And I want to welcome you and hope you feel welcomed by us this afternoon. And if you'd like to introduce any members from the department, please take a moment now and feel free to introduce them to the committee.
Thank you. I will take that opportunity. And I'll have you guys introduce yourselves if you want to stand up. Right here to my right is Paloma Harbor.
Hey, Paloma Harmer, welcome.
Who's the Administrative Services Director. This is Anna Latham, our Ledge Liaison.
Welcome.
This is Deputy Commissioner Greg Cashin, right behind me, and Deputy Commissioner Joe Thomas.
With that, feel free to begin your presentation. And members, if you have questions as the Commissioner proceeds, please feel free to ask them during the presentation.
Thank you very much, Chairwoman. I'm going to have Ms. Harbor come and join me and operate the equipment.
Right.
So good afternoon, Chairwoman Costello and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Heidi Dragas, and I'm the Commissioner Designee for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. Thank you very much for inviting me here to speak with you and provide you an overview of the department and to tell you a little bit about myself. And I'm going to adjust this so I'm not, like, leaning into this the whole time. This is my first one of these, so we'll work the kinks out. So I was born and raised in Fairbanks, Alaska. I graduated from Lathrop High School, and I'm a graduate of the University of Alaska Fairbanks with a degree in history. I attended law school at Willamette University in Salem, Oregon, and went back to Fairbanks and clerked for the Honorable Judge Pengilly on the Alaska Superior Court in Fairbanks. I moved to Anchorage and began practicing as an associate at Guess & Rudd, doing primarily insurance defense work. And then I was hired by the Alaska District Council of Labor, where I served as general counsel for 10 years. I did negotiations, contract administration, grievance adjudication, arbitration, hearings before the Alaska Labor Relations Agency, which is one of our divisions, and the National Labor Relations Board. As for me, I love to cook. I have a food blog that has gained in popularity lately, which is pretty cool. It's called Chena Girl Cooks. I'm an avid fisherwoman and hiker and berry picker, and I've logged many hours fishing for silvers in Valdez with my dad on his boat. I love Alaska. I'm honored to serve in this role, and I'm looking forward to giving you an overview of our department.
Wonderful. I'll have to check out the blog.
There's some great recipes there.
I'm sure there are.
We need proof, I think.
Next Senator committee meeting, through the chair, Senator Stevens, I will try to bring some goodies for you.
We'll document that, and we'll hope that you follow up with us.
Okay, so we'll start with the first slide. So the department's mission is to provide safe and legal working conditions and to advance opportunities for employment for Alaskans. The department accomplishes this mission through its key program priorities of protecting Alaska's workers through statutory and regulatory consultation and enforcement, developing an Alaskan workforce for Alaska's jobs, and income replacement for injured, unemployed, or disabled Alaskan workers. The department provides services to Alaskans all across the state, as this slide shows. These are the different offices. It's easier to see in the paper in front of you, I think, than up there on the screen. We'll be going into more details about the division, but very quickly I'll tell you that the red dots on this map indicate the Alaska Job Center Network, through which the department provides staff-assisted employment and training services. The blue dots indicate our vocational rehabilitation offices, where we provide employment and training services to disabled Alaskans. The Alaska Vocational Technical Center, most commonly referred to as AVTEC, is indicated by a purple dot in Seward. And last but not least, our other program offices are indicated by green on the map, and these include the Unemployment Insurance Division, Labor Standards and Safety, Workers' Compensation, and other programs that I'll talk about a little more in this overview.
Commissioner Dragas, so we know that the federal government is expecting to reduce funds to Alaska to the tune of $3.6 million over the next 2 years, and job center reductions have been discussed in the past. Have you had a chance to put forward a plan for how the department will address the loss of federal funds in this area?
As far as putting forward a plan, we did. Part of our reduction scenario was accepting the fact that we're losing federal funds for those job centers. It doesn't look like there's going to be any other choice but to close some job centers, but the decision on what job centers will close has not been determined as of yet. We are looking very closely at that. We'll be working with the representatives from each district. It's not an easy decision for the department to make, for me to make, because I know how important these centers are to these communities, especially in rural Alaska. Where we do close job centers, we're going to try to partner with other agencies, private nonprofits, that may provide the same or similar services. We will do well to provide online services to Alaskans where we cannot keep a job center open. So to answer your question, we are looking at that carefully. It's a difficult climate, and especially, we've got these significant dwindling federal funds. So we will be rolling that out in the near future. So the next slide is the department's organizational chart by key program priority. Two of our divisions have programs that cross priority program lines, so we indicate that accordingly on the chart, and that's Employment Security Division and the Voc Rehab Division. There are some lines of distinctions that are a little bit fuzzy. For example, our Workers' Compensation Division has some crossover into the Protect Workers priority because of their efforts to ensure employers have workers' compensation insurance for their employees. But the department has historically placed them in the income replacement area because they primarily ensure benefit payments to Alaska's injured workers.
Commissioner, so legislation that was passed previously changes the workers' compensation fee schedule, and has the department, as commissioner, do you have any comment on the status of that work?
The status of that work, I would just say that we've had a couple meetings, and I think we have another one next week to get the entire department. I have a lot of new staff that's come on to get up to speed on the workers' compensation developments. I've had a lot of constituencies approach me already about workers' compensation, and I know that there are a few bills already being introduced about workers' compensation. So I am getting up to speed on workers' comp as quickly as possible. It's very important to our department and certainly to the state, and especially Alaskan businesses. So we're in the process of making sure we are aware of what was passed, how it's affecting workers' comp, and then what changes need to be implemented in the future.
Any committee questions at this moment? Okay, please continue.
Okay. So the next slide we'll talk about our components. The Alaska Labor Relations Agency administers the Public Employment Relations Act, or PARA, and the labor provisions of the Alaska Railroad Corporation Act pertaining to collective bargaining for public employers. It also facilitates the resolution of disputes between organized labor and public employers. The Alaska Workforce Investment Board, it provides policy oversight of state and federally funded job training and vocational education programs and provides an annual report to the legislature on the performance and evaluation of the state's training programs. It's a 26-member board, and actually it will be meeting next week in Juneau on February 2nd and 3rd. It will be the first meeting, as commissioner designee, so I'm looking forward to working with the board. It really is a terrific, it's composed of really terrific Alaskans from all sectors, and one of my priorities will be really trying to enhance the work of the board, especially given the fact that our governor is absolutely committed to workforce development and training opportunities for Alaskans. And I think there's a real opportunity for AWIB to step up to the plate and really provide some policy guidance to the state and to the department on workforce development opportunities.
And we've been joined by Senate President Senator Meyer. Welcome. Commissioner, while we're on this point, as a former high school teacher, you know, educating young people is really near and dear to me, and hands-on work experience is really important. And do you have statistics at your fingertips on how many Alaskan students go right into the job market versus going on to college?
At my fingertips, no. What I would say is that this administration and this department recognize that not every student is going to leave high school and head to a four-year institution. And we believe we need to refocus on career and technical training for Alaskans, make them aware of the fact that it's available, make sure they know that there's a choice when you leave high school, that it's not, you don't have to go straight to college. And a lot of, most, I would venture to guess, most 18-year-olds will not be going to college. And so we really want to capture as much of that population as we can, provide training opportunities for those individuals, for the for those key industries that we really need workers in. So to answer your question, no, I don't have the statistics, but I will tell you that we are going to devote a lot of time to looking at that and boosting our statistics in workforce development.
That's good to hear. I know the transition report mentioned one of the items that the department could look at would be career awareness for young people. And so do you have any thoughts about what plan you'll put in place or how that might look?
Well, we're just kind of digging into those issues as far as how to make young Alaskans aware of those opportunities and make sure not only aware of them, but make sure that there are those opportunities first and foremost. So one of the other priorities of the governor is to make sure that we work interdepartmentally. So I have meetings with the university, with President Gamble, and with Commissioner Hanley, with the Department of Education, to also work in conjunction with those two entities to make sure that we're not overlapping or duplicating efforts and really streamlining and becoming more efficient in the training that we provide. I've talked to the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation and that as well as the job centers. And I was struck by how the services that we can provide is really astonishing. And the question in my mind is, do Alaskans know that we provide these services? And it dovetails very nicely into making sure that they're aware of these workforce development opportunities. And I think that's fully half the battle, is making sure not only that we have these services, which we do, and they're really the people working in these job centers, and they're just incredible people working hard to make sure people know how to write resumes and give interviews. But to that same end, we also want to make sure that people know about the activities going on at the job centers, to make sure that they know about these job training opportunities. And that's something that we will be focusing on. I hesitate to call it advertising, but making sure we get our message out in whatever avenue we can. And I've already started that conversation to see what more can we do to make sure that that message is received by Alaskans.
Thank you.
Okay, our next slide is about AVTEC, the Alaska Vocational Technical Center, which is located in Seward, and you can see a picture. That's a picture right there of our new dormitory, which was finished in August of this year. Recently. Okay. So it was finished within the past year. AVTEC's mission is to provide market-driven vocational and technical training to prepare Alaska residents for jobs. In fiscal year 14, AVTEC had 382 long-term program enrollees and 898 in short-term programs. ABTEC's fiscal year 14 completion rate was 89%, and 89% of ABTEC's fiscal year 2013 graduates were placed in training-related jobs within the following year, and we're very proud of that statistic. Our Division of Business Partnerships.
Commissioner, before we move on, previously we had heard about potential increase to tuition and ABTEC and program fees and what have you, and I was curious if you had any specifics on whether or not if, you know, you plan on moving forward with that as, you know, as commissioner.
We haven't made a decision on that yet. The director of ABTEC, Ben Eveland, has recommended that we do an increase to tuition to make up for lost revenue, and there hasn't been an increase in since 2010, so we're probably overdue. I'll just say it's very likely that we'll come forward with a proposal like that. We're in the process of making those decisions. So I guess I would just say, yes, don't be surprised if you do see one of those. And any questions you have at that time, we'll be happy to answer, and we'll make sure that Ben Eveland is available to answer those as well.
Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I had the good fortune of having Seward in my district for some time, and no longer. I'm really sorry to have lost that community, but spent a lot of time in ABTEC, and I just cannot say how impressed I was with the training that goes on there in electrical and teaching village folks how to run their generators and computers and cooking and all those areas. It's just really a remarkable program. Are there other parts of your department that deal with such training, or is it all centered in Seward?
Well, as far as the training that is administered through the department, that would be ABTEC. But, of course, I don't know how many, but we have multiple grantees that are awarded STEP grants and also the TVEP grants. Mm-hmm. to those designated in statute that do training all across the state. So as far as the department's training programs, yes, that's at ABTEC, but our reach is far beyond that through the STEP and TVEP programs. And the cooking program, I've actually visited ABTEC in my previous role, and I did request from Director Eveland that I would like to come and talk with them, and then I was hoping to get in the kitchen and do a little cooking with the students as part of it, kind of a, you know, might as well. They have this beautiful new facility there, so
very nice.
That'll be part of my ABTEC training.
Thank you.
Thank you. And, Commissioner, I know oftentimes the public will listen in, and we all use acronyms, so whenever possible, if we can share what those stand for, that would be wonderful.
I'm happy to do that. I feel like I've gone to the other side because I keep asking people to help me with the word soup, and now I am the word soup, so I will try to do better. Thank you for that reminder, Senator. Okay, so now the Division of Business Partnerships. Thanks, Norma. The Division of Business Partnerships administers the department's competitive and pass-through workforce development grant program. In fiscal year 2014, nearly 3,000 Alaskans received training through the State Training and Employment Program, or STEP, administered by DBP, and 87% of the 2013 STEP training participants entered training-related jobs in Alaska. The employment...
Oh, yes? Related to this slide, so the transition report mentions a recommendation to vigorously engage private partnerships in expanding broadband throughout Alaska. And have you had a chance to review the efforts previously to do that, to get broadband throughout Alaska?
Truthfully, no. I haven't seen anything about the broadband program, but, my staff is now aware, so if there's something that the department can do to further that, you know, we will definitely get up to speed.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, the Employment Security Division. The Employment Security Division provides employment and training services through the Alaska Job Center Network. and online through the Alaska Labor Exchange System, otherwise known as ALEXIS, economic stability to unemployed Alaskans through unemployment insurance, and adult basic education in order to advance opportunities for employment for Alaskans who need that extra assistance. The Labor Standards and Safety Division. This division provides enforcement, training, and monitoring of laws governing occupational safety and health, wages and hours, child labor, electrical and mechanical codes. This division also supports the Alaska Safety Advisory Council that is responsible for the annual Governor's Safety Conference. This past year, the division developed a 10-hour OSHA safety course that was used to improve safety in the target industry of seafood processing. And as a result, as a direct result of this course, the state experienced a record low workplace lost time illnesses and injuries rate per 100 employees of 0.61%, down from 0.61 per 100 people, down from 1.13 in fiscal year 2013. A majority of that decrease occurred in the seafood processing industry, and we're very proud of those figures. They're pretty remarkable. The Division of Vocational Rehabilitation assists Alaskans with disabilities to secure and maintain employment and provides economic stability to disabled Alaskans through Social Security disability determinations. In fiscal year 2014, DVR had 607 individuals employed upon exit from their individualized plan for employment, which is an increase from 598 in fiscal year 2013 and represents the second highest level on record. The average wage of employed individuals exiting the DVR program equaled $14.31, which is an increase from $13.84 just the year before. And Alaska is regularly among the top 15 in the nation for average wage. We're good. Okay, workers' compensation, everybody's favorite topic. The Workers' Compensation Division aids Alaskans with employment-related injuries and illnesses by administering the Alaska Workers' Compensation Act, the Fisherman's Fund, the Workers' Compensation Benefits Guarantee Fund, and the Second Injury Fund. And one area of focus right now for workers' compensation is working with the Medical Services Review Committee on a revised medical fee schedule to lower workers' comp medical costs in Alaska. And they've had ongoing meetings several weeks in a row on trying to bring those costs down. Okay.
Senator Meyer?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. And thank you for the presentation so far. The Alaska State Chamber, I believe, is in town, and the workers' comp issue comes up constantly with them. It seems like it comes up every year. And you said you have a group now working on this. Anything to report? Anything? And are you meeting with the chamber as well on their concerns?
Through the chair. Yes, in fact, I have. I attended a reception last night at the governor's house for the chamber, who are in town, and I've bumped into several of them in the hallway, which is, I think, a lot of how you get business done in Juneau, is you bump into people. But a lot of them have expressed a desire to talk with the department about workers' comp, and I understand how important it is, and we also understand the need to address it and do whatever we can to bring down insurance rates. We are in the process of looking through. We have some proposed legislation. It's pretty extensive, and we're still in the process of reviewing that. I'm working with our Workers' Compensation Division Director, Mike Monagle, to go through that along with our ledge liaison, Anna Latham. And it's pretty extensive. I want to make sure that I feel comfortable with the legislation and make sure that it does, good things for Alaska's workers as well as for employers.
Right, exactly. But if I can follow up.
Senator Meyer.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but we can and may see some legislation from your office this session?
Yes. I believe so. Probably.
Okay. Very good. I'll accept that for now. And is Alaska the highest workers' comp rate or 49 out of 50 or something. That's what, again, the business community was saying. We have one of the highest.
I'm hearing whispers behind me, and it sounds like, and I may have someone else answer that question who knows it more. It sounds like we used to be, but we're not anymore.
Okay.
I believe we are 49th out of 50.
Okay.
Commissioner, if you'd like to have someone answer that.
Sure. Actually, why don't I have that? Anna, do you want to answer that question?
Okay. And if you don't mind mentioning your name, title for the record, thank you.
For the record, my name is Anna Latham, Legislative Liaison, Department of Labor. And Senator Meyer, through the chair, that is absolutely correct. Alaska has been the highest in workers' comp, either in the number one or number two position for the last 10 years. And this year, Alaska's rates were lowered, and now I believe that we're still in the top five, but we're not in that number one position.
Okay, so we're making progress.
We are making progress.
All right.
And, but we haven't really seen the results of the legislation that was passed this past year quite yet.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, now the fun part. The department's fiscal year 2016 governor's endorsed budget totals $179.4 million. 53% of that is federal funds, $94.4 million. The department's unrestricted general funds in fiscal year 2016 endorsed budget totals $29.2 million, which is down $4.2 million from the current year fiscal year 2015. This is equivalent to a 12.5% reduction, which is pretty significant. To implement this reduction, the department is focusing on the governor's goal of redesigning administrative infrastructure to maintain maximum program and services delivery. There will obviously be funding implications for programs resulting from a cut of this magnitude, but I'm committed to streamlining services, finding efficiencies, and developing partnerships to maintain key services and program priorities. And this dovetails nicely with my vision for the department. So I've been in this role for 4 weeks and 4 days. The Department of Labor and Workforce Development, as far as I can tell, is a wonderful department. It's filled with employees committed to helping, protecting, and employing Alaskans. And here's my vision for the department. I want to streamline programs and revamp the workforce development system to ensure maximum effectiveness and efficiency within a sustainable budget. I'm currently reviewing a proposal that would return the department to its fiscal year 2003 structure of having workforce development grants administered by the Employment Securities Division instead of a separate business partnerships division. And we estimate that this could result in a saving to the department of nearly $850,000 once it's implemented. Given declining funding, this revamp is critical to ensuring that the maximum amount of funds possible are going out on the street as grants for training and workforce development opportunities for Alaskans. I'm also very focused, as is this governor, on increasing Alaska resident hire in priority industries and occupations to ensure that Alaskans are getting Alaska's jobs. Part of this will be addressed through more targeted workforce development funding in areas with high non-resident hire rates, and the other part will be through an increased focus on Alaska resident hire enforcement. The Department of Labor and Workforce Development is charged by statute to enforce the state's resident hire laws. Hiring Alaskans to fill Alaska's jobs is critical to the economic success of our state and the residents that we serve. Alaska has one of the highest ratios of non-resident to resident workers in the nation, which impacts the rate of unemployment among residents. Non-resident workers use services provided by the state, but do not contribute fairly to the cost of those services. Because the state has no personal income tax or sales tax, Alaskans suffer economically when non-residents displace qualified Alaska residents, since resident workers contribute local taxes as well as their share of the royalties from natural resources. I will also continue to focus on the department's other key priority program areas of ensuring economic stability for injured, unemployed, and disabled Alaskans, and ensuring safe and legal working conditions for Alaska's workers.
Any questions? Vice Chair Senator Giesel.
Thank you. So the occupational group with the highest non-resident hire is fisheries. I don't think we get any royalties on fisheries, but so how would you address that?
Well, it's something actually I was approached yesterday by maybe the director of the Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce, and it's one of the things that she had mentioned to the department is recognizing fisheries and marine industry as a priority industry. And I wasn't aware that we hadn't done that. And actually, I'm not completely sure that we haven't done that, but it's something I'm going to look into because we do have an extremely high rate of non-resident hire in the fisheries industries, just due to the nature of the work. We're going to take a closer look at that to see what can we do to encourage Alaskans to take those jobs. Is there any training or opportunities that we can provide? Is there any funneling of resources that we can do so that we can direct Alaskans to those jobs? I think it's always going to be a difficult area, but it's something that we certainly should take a look at, perhaps even develop a task force around to see if it's something that we can address effectively.
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner, you mentioned the Workforce Investment Board and tapping some of the ideas of those folks. Where do you expect that the innovative ideas for efficiencies will come from? You know, government services are not a for-profit business, but we can apply good business practices to government services and government organizations to have greater efficiency and function. We're all talking about trying to come up with innovative strategies to reduce the budget in a way that doesn't hurt people and services. So where do you plan to? I know you have a good staff and you'll listen to them and work with them, but where do the other ideas come from that can help you in your job?
Well, I have an excellent staff. A lot of the ideas have come from them, but I want to use. You mentioned AWIB, and I want to use the Alaska Workforce Investment Board as more of a policy force, if you will. I envision for that board kind of a greater elevate their level of responsibility and importance in this state, especially given the focus of this administration on workforce development. So I think a lot of the ideas can come from that board. It's made up of all kinds of Alaskans, you know, the public members. There's members from industry. There's members from labor. There's members from numerous groups, chamber. And, you know, they sit down, and it's their role to develop that kind of policy. And I think, you know, as far as I'm concerned, one of the key things that I was concerned about is the increased administrative costs in the Division of Business Partnerships, which was eating up some of the grant monies that should be going out on the streets. And I think that I'd like the that's one of the reasons why we want to combine the Employment Securities Division and the Division of Business Partnerships to streamline those administrative services. And I think also we may look at even restructuring AWIB to the Alaska Workforce Investment Board to perhaps be a little more efficient. It is a 26-member board. It's quite a large board. And so we are looking at that to see if that may be to make it, if it does result in a more effective, more efficient board. I'm not sure if it completely answered your question, but, we've also not just my immediate staff in the commissioner's office, but we – Acting Commissioner Gray Mitchell solicited the input of staff members throughout the department to ask how can we do things better and more with less. And we've also looked at the transition team reports to look and see if there's some good ideas in there, which there certainly are, to do better with less. I think that's going to be the theme of this legislative session is how can we do better with less. And sometimes we're just going to have to do with less. It won't always be better. We've all been tasked with that responsibility, and we're taking it pretty seriously.
Thank you. Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Not surprising, I'd like to return to fisheries for just a minute, because interesting to think about that. You know, it is true that it is a seasonal occupation, If we could train the fish to come back every month, it'd be much easier. But it is seasonal, and a lot of the workers and fishermen are often from outside Alaska. But I think there are some hopes for the future. One is year-round processing. We see many of the processors, particularly the pollock, that are bringing fish and processing them year-round. And so in Kodiak, there are a lot of employees who have been there for many generations who are in the fish processing industry and have been working in that for a long, long time. The governor, in his speech to the legislature, talked about value added. That's a very important issue, and I really hope we can look at that as bringing in hiring more Alaskans and also making it a year-round job. I did point out to the Senate president that he has a plant in Ship Creek that employs 300 people. That's a nice size job opportunity for people in Anchorage as well. And I also point out that most of the largest number of permit holders in the state of Alaska are in Anchorage. So those of you from Anchorage have a commitment to the fishing industry as well. Anyway, wanted to bring those issues up and hope we can continue to work and take the governor at his word and try to find ways that we can bring value added. I just would say one thing. I had a chance to see a plant in Spain where they were producing fillets, our fish, little fish patties that they put at McDonald's, from Alaska pollock. And they take the big blocks of fish, frozen in blocks, put it in one into the machine, and it comes out all breaded in little tiny cubes, and then they sell to fast food places. This is something we could do in Alaska if we could figure out how to do it as economically as they do in Spain. I think there's a value added is a very important thing for us to look at. Thank you.
Well, through the chair, I'll just, Senator Stevens, I think that's a fantastic idea. And I think, especially maybe in this fiscal climate, when you're in fat times, you don't often take the time to look at where you can do things better with less. You know, look at where you can streamline, where you can be more efficient. And also, when you're in lean times, you're forced to kind of think outside the box. It gives you that opportunity, and that's exactly one of a program that we really should be looking at. Why is our fish going to Spain to be processed? Why aren't we processing it here? And I think, especially under this administration, it's really been a wonderful experience, and the governor and his staff have really empowered commissioners to do just that, think outside the box. And, I think it's a perfect opportunity when you have, you get a few people at the table that have different stakeholders at the table to come up with some of these solutions, come up with a plan to implement something like this. And now is a good time to do it. It's something I'd certainly be absolutely happy to sit at the table with and work on those types of solutions, because this is such a priority for this governor, and we really have to do more of that in this state. So it's absolutely a good point.
Senator
Thank you.
Stevens.
And if I could follow up, several years ago when I was first in the House in 2000, we received some assistance from the federal government to try to help canneries bring in new equipment for salmon. And instead of just canning salmon, which was a little less value, we were able to fast freeze it and put it into fillets. And so we developed a program and it still exists, of tax credits to help companies become up to date. And it's worked remarkably well, and that's a good way to approach it. How can we help these firms become more efficient and get into secondary processing?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Commissioner, for the presentation. I just want to make sure. I think I know the answer, but as people go through these various training programs, hopefully they'll understand that even though marijuana is legalized, that especially on the North Slope, because so many people say, "Hey, we can't get a job on the North Slope," but they can't pass the drug test, and I think it's only going to get worse now with the legalization of marijuana. So hopefully, we're training these people that the North Slope companies, nor do we want them to, are going to lower their safety standards just because we've legalized marijuana. So is that information getting out to folks? Do you know?
Through the chair, you know, as far as the department is concerned, Senator, it's not something that we have tackled yet. It's not to say that we wouldn't have to tackle it in the future. I would just say from my previous position with the Alaska District Council of Laborers, it was something, you know, that labor was very aware of, in that just because something is legal doesn't mean you get away with it when you go to work. You know, many narcotics are legal, and you don't get to work under the influence of oxycodone or one of these controlled substances. So to me, it almost works the same way. It's not something right now that we've been tasked with, but, you know, it's possible that the Department of Labor may have to engage in that education of the public.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, because I know personally in talking to the North Slope employers that they want to hire more Alaskans, but they're not going to lower their safety.
Nor should they.
Yeah.
Commissioner, one topic that has not come up yet is the gas line project, and I was wondering what your commitment is, you know, to seeing that project come to fruition. I know Alaskans have been very patient, and the legislature has tried to make this possible, and we've had multiple administrations working on this, and we're closer now than we ever have been in our state's history. So what is your commitment to a gas line so that Alaskans can have access to affordable energy and also the potential of exporting our gas?
I guess that there'd be two parts to that answer, and the first is that our role is in this, in developing a gas line, is to make sure we have a ready and trained workforce. And that's something that we will be absolutely committed to. The governor has made it, without question, his priority that we will get a gas line in this state. And so we want to ensure that we have Alaskans ready and trained to perform those jobs. I believe that there have been reports that the department has done in an effort to ready our workforce development plan in the event of a gas line. Those are reports I still need to review. But that's first and foremost. I guess secondly, I would say that I do sit on the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation Board, and I do take that role very seriously. You know, the Department of Labor has a huge stake in whether a gas line is built in this state. You know, as my role on that organization, we will, you know, do what we can to make sure that we get a gas line in this state. I have only been to one meeting, and I have a volume of documents to read through, but I absolutely take that responsibility very seriously, because it's critical to the future of the state and you know, this generation and the generations to come.
And my two boys are in elementary school, in second and fourth grade, so when they graduate and are looking for jobs, if this project actually happens, those second and fourth graders in today's classroom now will be taking those jobs. So are you planning to work with the Department of Education on how to get that generation prepared, and have we identified the number of jobs and the types of jobs that we'll be looking to fill?
Those are great questions. As far as working with the Department of Education, absolutely. In fact, I do have a meeting tomorrow with Commissioner Hanley to look at CTE, career and technical education, and making sure that the department and the Department of Labor and the Department of Education are working together on that. The second part of your question was, you had two questions. That was the first one, and the second one was the occupations. I do believe that there was a report done by the Department of Labor before my time about identifying the particular occupations that would result from a gas line. I would tell you I have not reviewed that, but it will be a priority to do that soon this year, to make sure that we're ready to go. You know, we need to start training, you know, get those pieces in place to make sure that training is in place, because, you know, we can't build a gas line without trained workers.
Thank you. And I do have a message you can share with the commissioner. If there's any way to make Lego robotics a part of the curriculum that our children learn in schools, I think that kind of hands-on, engaging activity is incredibly invaluable. So, and with that, if, are there any other questions from committee members? No? Well, I want to thank you, Commissioner-elect Dreyfus, and also Deputy Commissioners Thomas and Cashin. I appreciate you coming, and Division Director Ms. Harbor. Thank you for your presentation today, and I look forward to having you back in the committee. And with that, it's 2:15, and we are adjourned.